Stone & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025-1063. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Live in the Hillside Medical Game Studios. First Horizon Park today, where the Sounds are taking on the Gwinnett Stripers. Big news in college football. It's funny because everybody wants USC and UCLA went to the Big Ten. Everybody was trying to figure out what was next for college football, what was next for realignment. And the one thing I kept thinking about was, what do they want? What do the conferences want? And really, what the conferences want is predicated by, what does TV want?
Or what can TV offer?
What does TV want? Well, we know TV offers money. That is what TV is willing to give. But what do they want? What would get them to up the price? And today we now know. Because I had wondered, is it the idea of more cable households? You know, for these cable networks? Oh, Big Ten, we got to have the New York footprint. Let's get Rutgers in the league. Anybody in New York care about Rutgers?
Nope.
No. Anybody in New York care about the Big Ten?
Nope.
No. So that doesn't matter. What about the idea of winning championships? Is that important? Because we were told that, hey, the most important thing is, are these teams going to get in the playoff and things like that? And today we found out. So the Big Ten reportedly has signed. We already know that Fox is their lead broadcaster, as in Fox gets the best Big Ten football game every week.
Big noon kickoff.
Now, they have sold the B package and the C package. The B package will go to CBS, who will have the 3:30 kickoff, the same SEC time slot. The Big Ten will now have their second or third best game of the weekend. And NBC will have a 7 o'clock game, a primetime game every week from the Big Ten. Each network is paying $350 million for 13 games. ESPN was offered the same deal for $380 million, and they turned it down. So the Big Ten is going to have their premier game of the week on noon on Fox, followed by their second or third best game at 3:30 on CBS, followed by their second or third best game on NBC at night. Now, what's that mean for everybody else? Because ESPN now loses half of the Big Ten programming. Bless you.
Thank you.
They now lose half of the Big Ten programming. That is valuable real estate. That's a lot of Michigan games. And I know it's not going to be Michigan or Ohio State, but it's still a lot of Michigan football games, a lot of Ohio State games that would not be on Fox, Michigan State games that would not be on Fox that are no longer going to be on ESPN. So ESPN is going to have a game at noon that can't be a Big Ten game. They're going to have to decide, okay, do we put our premier game of the week, which will be the SEC's best game, do we put our premier game of the week at 3:30 to go against CBS? Do we put our premier game at 7 o'clock, the primetime game, but that would have to go up against NBC, who's going to have the Big Ten? So that's the first question, is what does ESPN do to counter the daily lineup that the Big Ten is building? That's the first thing. The second question is, what does this mean for the ACC? Because we look at the ACC, and we certainly think that they're not in the discussion with the SEC or the Big Ten, but ESPN needs the inventory of games that the Clemsons, Florida States, Virginia Techs, that those schools provide in order to give them, you know, a game at noon to put on when they're not going to have Michigan football anymore. So what does it mean for the ACC? And then I think the biggest question is, what does this all mean for Notre Dame? Because if NBC is doling out $350 million for the C package of the Big Ten, then Notre Dame has to look at this three separate ways. One, does NBC still want to be our exclusive partner like they have been for the last 25 or 30 years or however long they've been on? I mean, I'm 32, so I don't know if they've been on even longer than that, but does NBC still want to be our exclusive partner? Because if their primetime game every week is going to be the Big Ten and they've got Notre Dame, are they going to move Notre Dame earlier to compete with these other Big Ten slots? Or are they going to move a Big Ten game out of primetime? Are they allowed to move a Big Ten game out of primetime to put on Notre Dame? So that's the first question for Notre Dame. The second question for Notre Dame is, if the Big Ten is getting $700 million a year from Fox or whatever it is, and then they're getting $350 million from CBS and $350 million a year from NBC, do we want to be a part of that? Because apparently that's a lot of money, and if we decide to do that, I guarantee you it's built in those contracts that if Notre Dame ends up joining the Big Ten, that $350 million probably becomes $450 million.
Probably
or
so.
Or $500 million. So then there would be even more of a piece of the pie for Notre Dame. So does this make the Big Ten more attractive to Notre Dame? And then I think the other question is, if I'm ESPN, am I not trying to get Notre Dame into the ACC here so that it, A, protects what I have as far as that conference is concerned and adds to my inventory. So I get Notre Dame and Florida State, which was a very highly rated game last year. I get Notre Dame versus Clemson on a consistent basis. I can play, you know, Notre Dame in the primetime slot, and I can play my SEC game at 3:30, and or I can switch them around and I can play Notre Dame at 3:30, and I can play. Do I do that? But also remember that there's a lot of basketball inventory that ESPN is losing by not having the Big Ten. And even though this is all driven by football, we all know that, I believe basketball plays some sort of a role for a cable network that's trying to air games. If I'm ESPN, can I let the ACC completely go in the crapper from a basketball standpoint if I don't have ownership at all in the Big Ten? So I don't get any Michigan games. I don't get any Indiana games. I don't get any Michigan State basketball games.
Didn't have any to begin with.
No, they had basketball.
Well, basketball, but not football.
Well, they had half those games.
ESPN?
Yeah, ESPN had the second half of the Big Ten package.
This is like I was not aware of that.
So
I thought
ESPN,
it was just Fox.
No, so ESPN pulling out of this, or ESPN not having the Big Ten, it's like the first time in 40 years that ESPN hasn't had the Big Ten. So there's an inventory issue now, and that's why the ACC becomes important, because what is ESPN going to show on Tuesday nights if they don't have Big Ten basketball? They got to have some kind of basketball. They'll show some SEC basketball, but they also...
ACC basketball.
They need ACC basketball. So if you're ESPN, do you have to kind of figure out a way to make the ACC survive so that it gives you that inventory and it gives you the basketball inventory? And then the other question is, what happens to the playoff? So... this, to me, is absolutely insane. This piece of news today about what the Big Ten is going to look like, where the Big Ten is going to play, again, their big game at noon on Fox, they are going to play either their second or third best game at 3:30 on CBS, and their second or third game in primetime on NBC. What's it mean? What's ESPN's reaction? What's the SEC's reaction? What's Notre Dame's reaction? What about basketball? To me, today made it obvious what they're trying to accomplish, which is the only thing that matters is games that national TV networks want. So this idea of footprint that we've talked about before, they don't care about that. They want games. No, think about how many Purdue or Nebraska games, if NBC gets the third best Big Ten game of the week, think about how many Purdue or Nebraska games that's going to be. I mean, who wants to watch the third best Big Ten game?
Sometimes I don't even want to watch the first best Big Ten game, to be completely honest with you.
Well, they're paying $350 million each to every other week get the third best Big Ten game.
Yes, I know.
So that is so now what is the SEC? What is ESPN? What is the ACC? What are they going to do?
I don't, and this is tricky because it's almost like we talk about, you know, the market adjusting itself in football, for example, that Christian Kirk gets this absolutely ridiculous contract, even though he's not as good as some other wide receivers that are making less money than him. And that's why I think the SEC and ESPN, really, ESPN's looking at their deal with the SEC, or really, actually, the SEC, is looking at this deal and saying, well, we can get a whole heck of a lot more out of ESPN. Because now the Big Ten is making over $1 billion in these TV deals from three separate networks. So I'm sure the SEC is looking at it like, what more can I get out of these television network deals?
Well, they have to add teams,
and they have to,
because the TV deal's done.
Yes,
Like, what started this was...
And that's what I am alluding to, is the SEC saying, okay, what more can we do? You have to add teams. And that's why I asked Greg, want to expand beyond 16 teams? Well, when does that change? I think this changes it.
See, I don't think that ESPN is looking for more SEC games. I think that ESPN is looking, and this is just my opinion.
Well, what other games are they going to get? Pac-12?
No, there are talks that they're going to go get the Big 12 and the Pac-12. But I believe they'll keep the Pac-12, even though the Pac-12 doesn't move the needle. They'll keep the Pac-12 because they'll get it at a discount and they can still play late night games and put them on TV. I believe that this is big news for the ACC. Because if I'm ESPN, my counter is I will see your three-tier networks or your three networks. And what I will do is your game of the week at noon that you'll put up against Fox, I'm probably going to lose. But I've always lost that slot anyways.
That's not the SEC slot. That's the worst game of the week.
I've always lost that slot. Well, it's really not. The primetime slot is now becoming the late night is now becoming the worst slot of the week. I don't know why, but that is ratings-wise, Fox's noon kickoff game draws a lot of people.
It does.
And so that is no longer the worst slot. But you put that game there. I will put the third best SEC game in that slot. So I will put Georgia versus Tennessee in that slot. And I don't know what it'll be in a given week. Then you're putting your second or third best game on at 3:30 on CBS. I don't care about that. I'm going to put my SEC game on ABC. So I'm going to put my SEC game, my number one SEC game at 3:30 up against your second or third best game. The thing with the ACC is that the primetime game has oftentimes been an ACC game. Clemson has been featured in a lot of those. I believe Florida State over the years has been featured in a lot of those. When Notre Dame has to play one of those schools because they have to play five ACC games a year, when Notre Dame plays on the road, they put the Notre Dame game there. This is where the ACC comes in, because the third best SEC game might not be good enough, or second best SEC game might not be good enough to put on in that primetime slot, and ESPN has to fill in the space of where the Big Ten is giving three networks three games. ESPN has to fill six slots because they've got ABC and they've got ESPN. That's where I think the ACC comes in and is really big. The big wild card to this for me is Notre Dame. Does Notre Dame look at those deals and get so enticed that they go join those deals, or does ESPN figure out a way of, hey, look, NBC, they don't care about you anymore. They're Big Ten. NBC, come with us. Get in the ACC. We'll give you a boatload of money in order to get in the ACC. And now ESPN can look at the Big Ten, which the SEC and the ACC would almost be in partnership, not because of themselves, but because ESPN wants it this way. And ESPN can say, well, I'll take my collection of my two conferences over your three games a week.
Well, but if you're going to talk about money enticing Notre Dame to join the ACC, the Big Ten has enough money to entice Notre Dame. They don't have to go anywhere if they don't want to. I want to say that their deal with NBC is up in 2025.
Yes, 2 years.
So Notre Dame could finagle their way into a deal with whether it's NBC or CBS or ESPN or whoever it might be. And they can remain independent.
They want $75 million a year.
I think that there's a network out there that would give them $75 million a year.
$75 million. And they have to play half their games in the ACC. So five of their games are against Syracuse or Virginia or whomever. When a network signs that Notre Dame deal, they're only getting six games. But then again, they're paying $350 million for seven or six of the third best Big Ten games of the week.
We'll do it.
It's crazy. But then the question is, okay, for NBC, who's been Notre Dame's partner for forever.
Yeah.
Does NBC still want Notre Dame? Does Notre Dame still want NBC?
I would say NBC absolutely still wants Notre Dame. But that's the problem. But if I'm Notre Dame, I don't care about loyalty from a network. I care about who's giving me the most money.
Well, and think about it, too. Notre Dame can't play a primetime game if NBC has a primetime package with the Big Ten, unless it's a game on the road at a Big Ten school.
That's true.
Well, I wouldn't like that if I was Notre Dame.
And maybe Notre Dame doesn't like that.
I would like the flexibility of playing whenever, for the most part, I want to play.
I would say Notre Dame follows the money. If that's a conference, fine. If that's an independent TV deal with another network that's willing to give them $75 million plus, then I think that that is going to be the most likely situation. Because I think these networks are salivating at the mouth for the opportunity to have Notre Dame rights.
But who can give them? For instance, if NBC wants to give the rights to, if NBC wants Notre Dame to stay, even if they can give them $75 million a year, is Notre Dame going to agree to not play primetime games except for when they're on the road at a Big Ten school?
Maybe not, but I don't think NBC is the only network that's going to be offering them that money.
See, somebody, they'll offer Notre Dame money. The question is, like, if I'm ESPN, am I offering Notre Dame money to do that, or am I offering Notre Dame money to join the ACC to keep that lead together so that I get that full inventory instead of them breaking apart?
Well, you're still getting partial inventory when Notre Dame plays those ACC games.
Right, but if the ACC breaks apart...
Now complete ownership. Well, the ACC won't break apart
but if they do,
in the near future.
Here's the problem with that, though, is if Notre Dame doesn't play ball with the ACC, then they don't have to play the five. The only reason that they play those five games is so that their Olympic sports can play in the ACC.
Yes.
If they don't do that anymore, say they join the Big Ten, they don't have to play those five games, and ESPN loses everything that's Notre Dame. And so that's why, again, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. Does Notre Dame care about playing at 7 o'clock that much? I don't know.
I would.
So we'll get your phones in on this. 615-737-1025. CBS is in. NBC is in. Fox is in. I can't even remember, other than the NFL, I can't remember when a league has had three major broadcast network partners. I cannot remember when that has happened. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Plus, what does this mean for the playoff? Because we still don't know about that. Stillman & Company right here, 1025, 1063, the game.
Yeah, essentially, Fox has half of the next Big Ten deal. They've been working to see who the other half's going to be, and it's most likely going to be a mix of CBS, NBC, and maybe Amazon or Apple, potentially. And, it is surprising. It's the first time in like 40 years that the Big Ten will not be on ESPN. And ESPN, is what made college football a national sport. It's what drives the conversation still. But the sense you've always kind of gotten from people in the Big Ten is that Kevin Warren likes the networks, and he likes the idea of exclusive windows and being treated as a big deal. You're going to get the Fox Big Noon game that's almost always going to be a big Big Ten game. You're going to get the big CBS game at 3:30, a Big Ten game. And then you're going to get the big NBC game, another Big Ten game, at 7, 8 o'clock at night. And so that type of presentation, that type of audience you can reach has always been appealing to the Big Ten. And, yeah, it's not done yet, but it's most likely ESPN is going to be left out.
That is nuts. Again, three TV windows. And so I basically have four questions here. What does ESPN want now? Now that we know that the Big Ten is all in, and really the TV networks are all in, Fox will get the best game at noon. CBS will get either the second or third best game, and it will alternate with NBC, who will get the second or third best game as well. So what does ESPN want? They have six slots on ESPN and ABC, and right now they have the entire SEC, the entire ACC, and they're probably going to work out a deal with the Pac-12 in order to keep the late-night games and that Pac-12 that plays at 11:30 at night that I never stay up for, but a lot of people do.
You've also got SEC network games as well, and I don't know how many slots there are.
They can put that's the Vandy channel.
I mean, it's not just the Vandy channel. I would say ESPNU is the Vandy channel.
Oh, no. The SEC network is the worst. The games on the SEC network are like, coming up tonight, it's the SEC game of the week on SEC network. It is Kentucky versus South Carolina.
Sometimes. But those are still slots you have to fill.
I used to joke with, yeah, but they have the inventory for that. Like, I'm talking about like the network TV channel, like the CBS's. They're not putting South Carolina, Kentucky on CBS. Except for the fact that that
no,
might
that's
be
because it's not a league network.
No, but like that's what I'm saying. Like CBS is not paying $350 million for those games. Like Rutgers Big Ten games, those aren't going on CBS or NBC. Those are going on the Big Ten Network. Like the Big Ten Network has to have games. That's where you will see Rutgers and Iowa. You will not see Rutgers. Iowa, Wisconsin, you'll probably see on one of the CBS, NBC, or whatever. But the SEC network, I mean, that does not matter. Because all those games that they put there are, you know, Vandy, Missouri plays there a lot. Who else sucks? Like when they play those schools from the nobody leagues, those games always get put on the league network. But where the real money's at, and I, you know, the real money used to be in the cable subscriber fees, but now that that's gone down so much and people have cut the cord, it's clearly now on those network premier games. So to me, ESPN has really, you know, as far as premium slots are concerned, like I'm not even considering ESPN2 as part of this equation.
I don't think you should.
So it's really ESPN and ABC. And how do they man up their six slots knowing that they have right now the SEC and the ACC? And then, so that's my first question is what does ESPN, what is their plan? Like how would a week for the SEC look? And, or for the SEC on ESPN, how would that look? And then how do they make their determination as to what to do next?
And also another question that I have is what happens whenever, you know, those week one conference crossover games, like a hypothetically, Tennessee-Wisconsin.
Sure.
What does that go on? Who has jurisdiction over those games?
So those games are owned by the networks. So, for instance, let's say that we were to get one at our new stadium. Uh-huh. You know, they build a new stadium downtown. Nissan would be the sponsor. Nissan or Bridgestone or one of those big corporations. And the money that they would have would be somewhere around 10, 15 million bucks because it would get huge ratings from but the TV channel would own that. So ESPN or Fox or whomever would own that game. Now, I believe that they own the TV rights of the team, so they couldn't get a team whose rights they don't have. But it would have to be a home. Let's say it's going to be on ESPN. ESPN owns the game. I believe ESPN also owns the Music City Bowl, which is a similar thing. Mm-hmm. So ESPN owns the game, and because ESPN owns the game, they then have to pay Tennessee, in this case, mm-hmm. like $10 million in order to play and give up the home game to play it at Nissan Stadium. Then they also have to pay the visiting team $10 million to play in this game. So that's how those games get worked out. Those games, I think, for the most part, will be unaffected, but you will not see two Big Ten teams playing on ABC in a game like that because they don't have the home TV rights
right.
for any ACC team. So that I'm not worried about. But again, like the way I would do it if I was ESPN and the SEC is I would keep the SEC's big game of the week. If I know I'm going up against the second Big Ten game or the third Big Ten game, that doesn't bother me. So I would put my game of the week at 2:30 on ABC. I'm not putting it on cable. So I would put the SEC game of the week at 2:30. Then the question is, does the second best SEC game, which is now currently under the CBS structure, that has been played on ESPN at 6 o'clock, does that go to ABC? So that the ABC
at
6
o'clock?
Yes. So that it's SEC to SEC. Or does it stay there on ESPN so that ESPN gets the SEC 6 o'clock game and that ABC can get that prime time, whether it's Big 12, Pac-12, ACC, or if they want now SEC game.
That 2:30 game?
Well, I don't think they'll put that in prime time. I think they'll keep the number one game at 2:30.
Okay.
So it would be almost the number three SEC game, if that's better than the number one ACC game. See, this is why
it's a big puzzle.
This is why the ACC is important. Like, as much as we want to crap on the ACC and the Big 12, that's why they're important. And with Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC, I feel very confident in saying that the second best SEC game will be better than anything the Big 12 can give me, even though Baylor and Oklahoma State actually do draw pretty decent eyeballs. I still think the second best SEC game every week will be better than that. The question is, does the best ACC game, is that better than the third best SEC game every week?
You know, you could look at it like a, you know, a Boston College Virginia Tech game doesn't really get me going, but a Florida State Miami game, no, that's something that I want to watch.
I want to say they had game day and it was a primetime game a couple of years ago.
Was it Boston College?
Boston College, and I remember thinking how stupid that was.
Yeah, like I don't think that Boston College is going to drive too many eyeballs, but Miami, Florida State.
The ACC is good for about four or five really good games every year. I believe that right now, if I'm ESPN, whatever moves that really matter to me are all about how do I keep the ACC viable? Because there's no way to keep the Big 12 viable. Even if they do buy Big 12 games, there is no way for the Big 12 to put on, without Texas or Oklahoma, there's no way for the Big 12 to put on a game that I would actually care about.
Well, I mean, Texas and Oklahoma was the lifeline of the Big 12. And you can add all the BYUs and the Cincinnati's, all that you want, but that's not going to make up for what you lost in Texas and Oklahoma.
So,
and I view the Pac-12 the same way.
If you're ESPN, because you have double the inventory, six slots compared to the three for the Big 10, doesn't the ACC become the big team here? Doesn't the ACC become, ESPN has their rights locked up in a sweet deal. They have, I would say, what, three or four premium football brands? Clemson, Florida State, Miami, Virginia Tech, I would argue, has fallen off, but is still worth something.
But you have that North Carolina-Duke basketball rivalry. Which I know this isn't a basketball motivated move, but if you're going to think about the entire package.
It's not, but because they have those they have the ACC's basketball packages locked up at a great deal through 2036, ESPN is almost invested in making sure that they get that basketball inventory for free.
Yeah.
So the ESPN cannot let the ACC fail in this instance. And I think that it's all aligning for them to, basically, if I'm ESPN, I go to the ACC and Notre Dame, and I ask Notre Dame how much money it'll cost in order to get Notre Dame in the league. And then I get Notre Dame in the league, and I pick off another school, probably West Virginia, pick off another school, go to 16 in the ACC with Notre Dame, and now I have my six slots. Because right now, if I'm ESPN and I've got a great deal with the SEC, and I can get my SEC game of the week, and I get all my I keep all my ACC brands, and they have to do basically whatever I say, whatever me and Notre Dame say is what they have to do, and I get Notre Dame, then I'm not worried about what Fox and the Big 12 are doing. So this is, if I'm ESPN, what I'm trying to do is I'm going to Notre Dame and Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the ACC, and I am saying, what will it take in order to get Notre Dame either to be a full-time member of the ACC or for me to buy Notre Dame's rights, the home rights that NBC has, how much will it cost, which we've heard it's $75 million. How much will it cost to buy those rights and essentially make Notre Dame an ACC school? Because I don't want Notre Dame going on the road and me not getting that game. I don't want Notre Dame going on the road to Ohio State and that game ending up on Fox. Which I do believe this is, there are two more years of the old package, I think, where ESPN still has the second pick for the Big Ten every year. And the number one pick is always Michigan, Ohio State. ESPN, as part of the deal that sent Joe Buck from Fox to ESPN, somehow ESPN had to give up a Big Ten game or a Big Ten pick. But they worked out a deal so that it wasn't Ohio State versus Notre Dame. But that was on the table.
Ohio State versus Notre Dame.
Yeah, so Fox originally wanted this year's Ohio State-Notre Dame game in exchange for Joe Buck. And I think instead they traded the third pick or something to... They traded something instead because I believe Ohio State-Notre Dame is on ESPN. And ESPN wanted that game for Joe Buck. Or no, Fox wanted that game for Joe Buck. That was the compensation they wanted in return for Joe Buck.
Interesting.
And ESPN was like, we're not giving you Notre Dame, Ohio State for Joe Buck. We like Joe Buck, but we're not giving that.
We don't like him that much.
615-737-1025. Trevor usually joins us at 4:30 on a Tuesday. He is out today. He will join us on Friday. So we'll get Trevor's reaction to all of this on Friday. We'll get to your phones on it next. Stillman and Company right here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What does the conference prioritize the most? Is it total viewership for games watched? Is it in-cable subscriptions to the network? Or is it championships won by the conference?
Yes. It's like all of those. In fact, it's a really interesting question. As you try to evaluate effectiveness and achievement, there are things we control, things we don't control. So the decision-making around our schedule, we control. We control the academic support provided to student athletes, but we also monitor both our graduation rates and what's called the academic progress rate of the NCAA to see how we're doing from an educational standpoint. We evaluate viewership. Every week we see a report on viewership of our games on a weekly basis through football season and basketball season for both men's and women's. And then at the end of every season do a pretty deep dive into the total comparatives across the country for TV ratings. And we even do so in the spring at the end of the seasons for sports like softball, tennis, gymnastics. That's important to us. The economics, revenue matter. And the ability to bring fans in, we're sitting right in front of a picture of the Rose Bowl. So I'm looking past you at this full stadium. So the continuing relationship with our fans, whether it's in football, men's, women's basketball, gymnastics, where that's sponsored, softball, baseball, the ability to bring people in to experience our games in person remains an important point of evaluation as well.
There you go. That was Greg Sankey, who answered a very simple question with a bunch of words but didn't really say anything.
And it is classic commissioner speak, coach speak, if you will.
But you know what's crazy?
What?
Is now I really was interested in that question and that answer, because whatever the answer is then, in my opinion, what matters the most for the next step of realignment. So if the cable subscriptions are what matters, then, for instance, Colorado football becomes a team that would have interest, in my opinion, to the SEC, because there's a lot of people who live in Denver. And even though Colorado football doesn't matter much, they're not going to win any championships for the SEC. Denver's still a big city. And so the entire state of Colorado would end up, I mean, over the last 15 years, Utah has been a much better program than Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not getting the same in-cable subscriptions for Utah as I am for Colorado. In fact, I'm getting more for Virginia than I am for Utah, even though Utah has been a much better program in terms of winning. But now I know what the answer is. The answer is total viewers for games, and that is what the Big Ten just sold for, $350 million to CBS and NBC each. That is $700 million for the second and third best game of the week.
$700 million, and that's not even all of it.
No, that's not the good stuff.
No.
The Michigan-Ohio State game is going to get, 17 million viewers next year, and they don't get that game. The top package is Fox at like $700 or $800 million. Pick a random week. And this is something I can't get over. Pick a random week of college football from last year, like week one, week two, week three,
week
whatever.
Week six.
All right, week six. Let's just say the third best home Big Ten game. So this would be either at 3:30 on CBS in this new package, or this would be at 7 o'clock.
On NBC.
Penn State, Iowa was number one, so that would be Fox, and that was on Fox, and that got 6.9 million viewers.
Got it.
Michigan versus Nebraska is number two.
That should be a good game, but it wasn't.
It wasn't a good game.
I mean, Nebraska is just horrible.
So that game got 4.29 million viewers. The third was Maryland, Ohio State. So
they're not bad games.
That's not, Utah, USC. Now, Utah wouldn't play USC, but Utah, USC would have been the fourth one, and that got 1.37 million viewers. So, I struggle with this. The ratings for the total viewership for all the sports, except for football, the NFL, is way down across the board, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet,
for everything,
the money that they're paying, the All-Star game on Fox, the baseball All-Star game that nobody gives a crap about, the baseball All-Star game set a record for advertising sales.
Oh, my gosh.
So even in a society where now everything, you know, digital stuff is taking money away from traditional television, and they still set a record, Fox did, for this baseball All-Star game. And we're getting to a point now where the home run derby is almost as popular as the baseball game itself.
That's crazy.
And so I don't...
Because we can talk about cord cutting all we want, and it's a real thing that's happening. I don't have cable, but there are still plenty of people in this country that have cable.
Now, here's the crazy thing. So that's the third best.
Mm-hmm.
The third best game was Maryland-Ohio State for 2.7.
Which isn't horrible.
Alabama A&M led the week at 8.3. Oklahoma-Texas was third behind Penn State-Iowa. Oklahoma-Texas, which is now an SEC game, that was third, would have been the second one. And Georgia-Auburn would be the third best SEC game in terms of total viewership of that same week. And the Georgia-Auburn game, 4.58 million viewers compared to 2.78 million viewers for Michigan-Ohio State. Or Maryland-Ohio State.
Maryland-Ohio State.
So, I you know, it's crazy,
I mean,
but, and I don't know the total money of the deal with ESPN and ABC. I know it's, you know, it's a billion or whatever for the SEC, but it's probably not as much as the Big Ten's going to make here.
But because that's still a new deal.
It's still probably a better deal. Now, at the same time, ESPN, ABC have three more slots to fill because they still have, whereas Fox will put baseball on a Saturday night in October, and they have baseball in September, and NBC right now has Notre Dame, and I would assume that NBC is going to do everything in their power to keep Notre Dame. It's like CBS doesn't care at all about college football except for that 3:30 slot.
Correct.
They don't want a noon game. They don't want a 7 o'clock game. I have no idea what CBS shows on Saturday nights. Probably Survivor.
Young Sheldon.
Is that Saturday night?
I have no idea.
I mean, I have no idea what they show.
Whenever they come back from commercial, I always remember the announcer saying, check out Young Sheldon.
That's how I know all these shows exist, because of the Titans.
NCIS.
I'll be watching the Titans, and it's like they're telling me about an all-new Bob Hart's Abishola that is coming up over the weekend that I will not watch, but every time. So,
also, correct me if I'm wrong, but that SEC-ESPN deal was negotiated before Oklahoma and Texas decided to join the SEC, correct?
I believe it was, but I believe it all happened at the same time, and I believe there was a provision that made the SEC, because the SEC got mad at CBS that CBS didn't give them more money for A&M in Missouri.
Right.
So I believe there was a provision that if this happens, then you're going to get this much more money.
So I do wonder, because we can talk about this Big Ten deal all day long and how that compares to the SEC, but Texas and Oklahoma are joining the SEC. So how does that SEC-ESPN deal look different when you add two of the most premier college football franchises in all of the sport?
Well, and it does matter because when, again, we're trying to fill three slots or four slots or whatever it is.
And you're competing with, you know, the three Big Ten slots.
Like, they're not going to put Texas, Georgia is not going on the SEC network.
No.
That's going to go in one of the six ESPN or ABC slots. Even if both teams freaking stink, that game's going to go in there. And I think that's what they factored in. And that's where USC and UCLA make a difference, is it isn't just one USC-Ohio State game every year. It is USC versus Ohio State. It is USC versus Michigan. It is USC versus Michigan State. It is USC versus Penn State.
And that makes a lot of other matchups that probably wouldn't be as desirable or a single team. Like, to me, Missouri-Oklahoma is a fun rivalry game that's being reignited and, you know, now is currently constructed. There's no Missouri game that will be played this year that's interesting to me.
Don't you think that
Missouri-Oklahoma is interesting to me?
Don't you think that Missouri-Oklahoma would not make the top six of the ESPN ABC weekly cut?
Maybe not.
I mean, some bad weeks.
But you're able to capitalize off of a Missouri game way more than you were able to in the past.
There's that
Missouri
one week,
Vanderbilt doesn't do anything for me.
Every year, there's that one week where Tennessee plays Missouri when Alabama and Auburn and all those schools are loading up for that last week of the year. And that game was on CBS. And even though like both teams were average, that game ends up on CBS because there's just not a better game to put on CBS. So I don't know. Live sports, the money for live sports is absolutely through the roof. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. One interesting storyline out of the NFL that I'm not sure is getting enough discuss is not getting enough discussion. We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman and Company right here, 1025, 1063 the game. Stillman and Company live at First Horizon Park, where the Sounds are taking on the Gwinnett Stripers tonight. And, of course, that game can be heard on 94.9 The Fan starting at 7.05. That's right, Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. And because I'm in a good mood, I am going to give out a four-pack of tickets to the Sounds later today in the show for Sunday's game when yours truly is throwing out the first pitch. So
I'm really bummed I'm missing it.
Well, you chose to miss it.
I'm still bummed about it.
Life's about making choices, priorities.
I'm going to see my mom.
Happy birthday, Mom.
It is not her birthday.
Happy belated birthday, Mom.
Pass the message along.
Happy belated birthday,
Mom. I guess it's always a happy belated birthday.
Hey, that's my point.
Some are just more belated than others.
So Roger Goodell has come out on the Deshaun Watson, It's so funny because Goodell has like totally stayed out of this, where the NFL argued their case with their investigators or whatever, and Goodell didn't say anything. And then the NFL appealed it to Goodell's designee, and so Goodell's designee is going to hear it. And we know, as I said to Ian last Wednesday, that Goodell's designee is basically just his Bobo. It is, you will do what I want you to do. Roger Goodell came out and said that he thinks that the evidence calls for at least a full year suspension of Deshaun Watson. Goodell, quote, "We've seen the evidence. She was very clear about the evidence. She reinforced the evidence. There were multiple violations that were egregious, and it was predatory behavior." Boy, those are some rocket shots from the commissioner. So Goodell says that basically he wants a year for Deshaun Watson. Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, came out today and said his prediction that Watson will get 12 games and a $10 million fine, which is exactly what the NFL was willing to settle for before Judge Sue L. Robinson came out with her ruling. I believe this. I think the right thing to do is suspend him for the year and make him reapply for reinstatement at the start of next season, which is what the league had been arguing for anyways. And since the league gets to control the full process, I think that's what the league should do. And since the league doesn't have to settle with Deshaun Watson here, and Deshaun Watson was stupid enough to not settle with the league when the opportunity was afforded to him, why not throw the book at him? Especially if the commissioner is now on record saying he deserves a year. Why not? Why would they stop short of that?
I mean, and the fact, too, that there is no, you know, there's no checks and balances in the NFL. Nobody's going to come back and say, I mean, other than Deshaun Watson's people, but I don't think that they want to necessarily get into a negotiation or bidding war legally with the NFL. So there's no entity that's going to come back and say, you know, that's unconstitutional. That's not fair. That's not right.
Well, the entity is the CBA, and that rules in their favor.
And that's exactly what the CBA says, is that Roger Goodell gets final say. If the NFL comes out and says, you know, before all of this went down, before Sue L. Robinson came forward with her, I call it a recommendation for punishment, because that's really at the end of the day what it is.
True. Before, as long as she says there's any punishment.
Yes. Because if there's no punishment at all, they can't punish him at all. They can't punish whatever, you know, player, coach, whatever it might be. If they're going to come out and say before this process even unfolds that it's a year, anything less than a year would make me question Roger Goodell or the league's intention in saying that in the first place. Mm. Was that to, you know, was that a message to Sue L. Robinson to say, hey, you know, this is what we are thinking? Was that a, you know, a publicity stunt to say, hey, you know, everyone that out there in the public sphere who is criticizing the league and Deshaun Watson, hey, we take this very seriously. Mm. Is it to silence public opinion? Because that's what I would think, is why would you come out and say that so publicly before this process even unfolds, and then you get the opportunity to do what you said you were going to do, or said that what you wanted to do,
and then
you
didn't change it?
Yeah. That makes you seem kind of spineless.
So what I said this weekend was, I believe that Roger Goodell decided to appeal the suspension to Roger Goodell because it was the right thing to do. That at the end of the day, that punishment was not good enough, and everybody knows it. And so what he decided to do was what I consider to be the right thing to do. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's some element here that I don't know about. But when I heard that the NFLPA, Florio had an article on Saturday that the NFLPA, the relationship with the NFL had soured over what the NFL did. I'm like, you negotiated that freaking rule. How can you be mad that they exercised the power that's in their rule?
You signed it.
I don't get it. Like, that would be like, for instance, I have a non-compete, right? Uh-huh. And I were to leave and the radio station were to exercise their non-compete and me be mad about it. That's why we signed the contract, well, right? Like, that's why.
And you can be frustrated if it's inconveniencing you at the time and saying, oh, gosh, I wish I hadn't signed that away. But that's on you. That is on you.
The problem with the process and all of this is that Watson screwed it up by being so incredibly guilty. That had this been something that was the NFL wants a suspension, even though there were no charges and there's no real evidence and there's no real story and the victim recounted, and then there's a chance that the judge could come back and say no. You know, like the Ezekiel Elliott situation, Brady's deflate gate, where the evidence for suspending Brady was he didn't turn over his cell phone. That is what this is for.
Mm-hmm.
For the judge to either say, yes, he did it, or no, he didn't. The end. Who wins? Neutral arbitrator picks. The thing with this is that Watson was so obviously guilty that he was going to get a suspension no matter what. And then once he gets a suspension, then the league gets to pick, and the league negotiated for that. So I have no sympathy. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Dan Graziano, ESPN, was at Titans practice and had some interesting nuggets, including one that I find to be very important about the 2022 season and what the Titan coaches are thinking about Derrick Henry. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company right here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.